Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. I hope you're having a good week and have been studying your Bible and thinking about things that are of eternal importance. We've been talking about pleasing God, that is the name of the radio program, and we've been dealing with opportunities. Specifically, we're looking in the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation, for our opportunities that people had to please God and the choices that they made. And we want to learn from this, and we're not better than the people in the Bible. We're like them. We have flesh, and we have blood, and we have bones, and we have intellect, and we are given a conscience that can be developed properly or can be totally out of harmony with the will of God. And if we want to please God above, then we will be in the Word, and we will be rightly dividing the Word, and we'll be asking questions, and we'll be seeking to grow from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word, and be humble servants of God, as Jesus is our perfect example of one who was great, and yet he humbled himself, and he taught that it is better to be humble than to be haughty. We should be convicted in what we believe, but like Apollos, we need to be so open-minded that we're willing to hear an opposing view. And if we find it to be so, his example pleased God. It may not have pleased his wife if he were married. It may not have pleased his best friends who like what they heard him teaching, but it pleased God when Apollos, in Acts chapter 18, near the end, and chapter 19, beginning, quit preaching the baptism of John as being in effect, and began preaching the baptism of the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, 1 Peter 3:21, and Galatians 3:26 and 27. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the New King James has this to say in verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. To do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in the sight, in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Continuing with the theme of opportunities in the New Testament, of which we can read to see where people had the opportunity to please God or please themselves or to please others, I'd like to move back one chapter from Matthew, the 23rd chapter, for a moment and talk about an occasion when some people came to Jesus to conspire against him. There were people that all during the life of Jesus Christ, and especially throughout his ministry from approximately age 30 to 33, wanted to trip him up, wanted to catch him in something, wanted to give him a question he could not answer. Well, let's look at something concerning verses 15, 16. Then the Pharisees went out and conspired to trap Jesus in his words. And then verse 16 says, and I'll read the New International Version first. We're going to read several versions today. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others, because you pay no attention to who they are. Now this is a fairly accurate translation into English of what the Greek has to say. Notice another English translation, the English Standard Version. "And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances.'" Now let's think about what the New American Standard in English says. "And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any.'" The New King James Version reads this way, "And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men.'" The Christian Standard Bible says, "So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we know that you are truthful and teach truthfully the way of God. You don't care what anyone thinks, nor do you show partiality.'" The contemporary English versions in the last part of that verse says, "And you treat everyone with the same respect, no matter who they are." See, Jesus did that, and we should try to do that, for that is pleasing God. Anything that hints at the idea in our minds that Jesus didn't care about people or what they believe is absolutely false. That's not what's taught in this passage of Scripture. What is taught, that it didn't matter whether there was a king, whether there was a high ruling authority, whether there was the person there with a sword in their hand that could chop off Jesus' head, if God was going to allow it at that time, which he wasn't. That was not the way Jesus was prophesied to die, and Jesus fulfilled all prophecies concerning him up to this point in time. There are a few things left to be done, but they are not forgotten or haven't been thwarted. They just haven't been fulfilled yet. We have the fact of those prophecies before us. Jesus would speak the truth on every occasion with the right amount of tenderness, with the right amount of toughness, if you will, always with love in his heart. He was meek but not weak, and he was certainly strong. And he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So these people are trying to maybe set Jesus up, you know, by building him up, but they're telling the truth about him, that he will speak truth. They couldn't catch him in any error. They kept asking him different questions, even trick questions, and Jesus passed the test every time. Well, what does the word go on to say in this text after we leave this very curious text in verse 16? "Tell us, therefore, what do you think?" Verse 17, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" We've got to realize that this Caesar is not a Jew. The Roman Empire was the great strength of the day during Jesus' lifetime. Jesus is a Jew. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were Jewish, okay? So these Hebrews are coming to another Hebrew who's a teacher concerning the law of Moses and the fulfillment of it and the new covenant which is to come. And they're going to ask him, "Well, what about this Roman tax situation here? What are we supposed to do?" Well, what did Jesus do on that occasion? Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money," verse 19. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Now, we don't know how many who were in that audience that day, specifically speaking, obeyed the truth later. Maybe they stood around and watched Jesus on the cross. Maybe they were in the crowd on the day of Pentecost recorded in Acts 2. And when they heard the lesson by Peter and the others getting up, preaching by inspiration of God, that the Jesus of Nazareth that they had crucified, meaning they were consenting unto it, God made both Lord and Christ. Uh-oh, Christ, that's a Hebrew. Uh-oh, that's the Messiah. Uh-oh, we've made a huge mistake here. False Christ? Yes, there were some back then and there are some now, even in our day. But this person, Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mary, is the Christ, the Son of the living God, just like Peter declared in Matthew 16, around verse 18. So, what do we think about this matter today? Here's an opportunity for people to please God. They're standing and they're testing Him. They're wanting Him to trip up. They're wanting Him to sin. They're not pleasing God at that moment. But realize, like you and me, when we're in a moment that is wrong, we still, while there's life, have the opportunity to reform. And if they were, some of them, in the crowd on the Acts 2 Pentecost, and I believe it's most likely that many of them were going to be there, because that was a religious holiday that Jews were to keep. What do you think some of them did? If they had true and good and honest hearts, and then they were really convicted that this person, Jesus of Nazareth, was actually the Son of God, prophesied to come to earth and to die on the cross that cruel death for their sins and for my sins and for your sins. Isn't God good? Isn't God long-suffering? Isn't God patient? And yet, there's chastening and there are opportunities and opportunities and opportunities that present themselves to repent, to reform, to mold ourselves into the pattern of God and His Word. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Wow, I could never do that. I could never be like God. God wants us to try to be separated from the world and do the very best that we can. And He wouldn't ask things of us that are not possible, because God is not unfair. He is not unreasonable. So we need to think about, where can I please God in my daily walk? Where in the congregation where I attend can we reform to make sure we're adhering to New Testament Christianity, properly understood and applied? Where have we let the old false argument that the Bible is just too old a document to be applicable today? The God that I believe in, the God that I serve, the God that could speak things into existence when He wanted to in creation, and take dirt from the ground if He wanted to and make man, and take a rib from Adam's side and make woman, doesn't have any problem giving us a revelation, a covenant, rightly divided Matthew through Revelation. The parts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are those that Jesus spoke concerning the coming kingdom, not the covenant He lived in. He spoke about those things as well. Rightly divide those, get to Acts 2, Pentecost, and go forward and see what we're supposed to be doing today as individuals and as local congregations. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to talking tomorrow more about the Word of God and opportunities that people had and that we can learn from to please God. Thank you and have a pleasant good day.